Blog Talk Radio.
I started out to win this race, to serve the Lord and to look up on His face. But the wait's been long and the wait's been rough. But there's one thing for sure, I've got my mind made up. He'll make you sick in body, even Christ take your life. But put your trust in Jesus and say, Lord, I've had enough. The Lord will say, move on, say, that He's got His mind made up. I've got my foot on the rock.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be able to come back once again into your homes just to tell you that we're reaching the world for Christ. This is Lloyd and Betty Yearwood on Blog Talk Radio. So we want to welcome each and every one out there tonight just to be with us and enjoy the service with us. We've got a brother that, Fred Branham, will be on joining us here in a minute. Coming on from, he's been an overseer and been a field director for Africa, and so we're just glad that he's going to be joining us here in a few minutes, and we're just going to have a good time in the Lord. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer at this time and pray for your needs and everything, and just pray for the service tonight, and just invite God into the service across the land. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come before you right now. God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Father, we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Father, for another time, God, to come out, God, across the world, God, just to reach you, God, and to tell people, Lord, about you and about the Holy Ghost. And Father, we're just asking you, God, that you will move with the power of the Holy Ghost across the land tonight. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' holy name. We praise you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you can call in tonight, be with us as part of this service, 347-308-8524. So just feel free to call in and join us. And we'll just have a good time in the Lord. That's call-in number is 347-308-8524. So just go ahead and call in, and let's just worship the Lord together tonight in spirit and truth. And this is Lloyd and Betty Yearwood reaching the world for Christ on Blog Talk Radio. It's a Bible talk show. So we just want you to join us and just have a good time in the Lord tonight. So we've got a scripture here that we're going to read by the Lord's help. I know that we've read this now for several weeks, but it's still God's Word, and we're just trying to minister what we feel like that God has wanted us to minister for the several weeks. And so we'll be a changing after tonight, Lord willing, and going to something else next week. But right here in Acts 19:2, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. You know, Paul was asking them a question there, and that was a bunch of believers he was talking to. A bunch of people that had done, made it right with the Lord. A bunch of people had done, said that they were going to serve God. So we just want you to know that that God's still doing something. We've got a call in here tonight on 573. Go ahead and tell us who you are and where you're at there.
Praise the Lord, everyone. This is Evangelist Miller calling you from the Harville, Missouri area. Praise the Lord.
Praise God, Brother Miller. We're glad to have you to join in with us there tonight. We're still speaking on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and still looking forward for God baptizing people across the land with it, because it's very needful today, and as it always has been, and so we're just praising God for it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Good. Sounding good. We are going to listen a little bit and see what the Lord gives us tonight, and if not, we'll receive. But we're glad to be able to breathe air and be on this broadcast with you. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. We're glad that you're in there with us. We just want you to feel free to worship the Lord. We're looking for a call in here from Brother Fred Branham just any time. A brother that's been an overseer, and a brother that's been a field director for West Africa and or South Africa. And so we're just looking for him to come in here and be with us and minister to us there a little bit. And of course, we want you to minister there too. We don't want you to, God gives you something, we want you to just feel free to obey the Lord.
Yeah.
So, you know, as I was saying there, you know, this was a bunch of believers that Paul's, praise the Lord. We got a 423 call in here, so go ahead and tell us who you are and where you're from, my brother.
Hello, Brother Lloyd. This is Fred Branham.
Praise the Lord. We're glad to have you on here with us tonight, Brother Branham.
It's good to be here.
Who you are and where you're from, Mayor.
I'm Fred Brennan, calling you from Cleveland, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. You have been the overseer and the field director for South Africa for several years, hadn't you?
Well, I went to Kenya in 1989, Brother Lloyd, as the overseer of Kenya, of the Churches of God in Kenya. And then in 1998, I was appointed to serve our organization as the field director. That meant I served as the supervisor of our works in 32 countries on the continent of Africa.
Praise the Lord. I thank God for you, brother. And, me and Sister Betty was talking last night after I got off the phone with you. We've known of each other for about 48 years, and I praise God for you. And praise God for what God has, how God has used you around the country and in Africa and everywhere it's over in there. So we're speaking on the baptism of the Holy Ghost there, and I just telling them there, Paul there in Acts 19:2, he asked a bunch of believers a question. I know we've been on this now for several weeks, but you know, I still feel like it's an important question, you know, to ask. He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. You know, if the Holy Ghost wasn't needful at that time or wasn't needful now, I don't believe Paul would have asked them that question. But he asked them that question to let them know that there was something that they could receive and receive power from, you know, in Acts 1 and 5, or 1 and 8 talks about you receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you know. I thank God, you know, that God is still God, still baptizing people in the Holy Ghost today, still giving them what they have the need of, and I just praise God for that, so,
yes, sir.
If you feel like ministering somewhere to us on that, go ahead. Just obey God, brother.
Well, Brother Lloyd, I think you was getting ready to pray. Have you had your prayer already?
Yeah, we've done prayed. Of course,
all
we're
right,
in
right
here directly.
All right, very good. Well, what I would do here is just share my personal testimony. You know, the Lord didn't really call us to be lawyers anyway. He didn't call us to be barristers and have to defend ourselves.
No, he didn't.
Sometimes I know we think we have to, but really the Lord just called us to be witnesses of what's happened with us.
Yes.
And how the Lord changed our life. changed my life. Of course, I want to say, too, at the beginning here, how much I respect and appreciate what you're doing. And as I said to you recently in a phone conversation, it just blesses me good because I know where you and I both came from and how the Lord has brought us to this place in our lives today.
Amen.
From Laurel Mountain, Tennessee, and me at Teleco Plains.
Amen.
48, 49 years ago, almost 50 years ago when we first met.
Amen.
And the Lord is still the same today as he was back then. And
yes.
It's just amazing to me how the technology has brought us to this place. And you're addressing the whole world. Anybody from Africa or Asia or anywhere where there's an internet connection can jump in there and talk with us about this wonderful subject of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, my testimony started early in my life. The Lord saved me from sin when I was just a youngster. But I was already a thief and a liar and on my way to hell.
Amen.
But God changed that. God, in his great mercy and grace, sent a preacher to Morristown, Tennessee, to the Church of God, and that's where I was going to church. And the preacher preached that hell was hot and heaven was sweet. And he made it sound like that I really didn't want to go to hell and that I really did want to go to heaven. So
amen.
The Lord sent conviction on my heart. And the preacher said, Jesus is coming soon. And if you don't get ready to meet him, you're going to be lost. So I sure did want to get right with God. And my heart was broken. And I repented of sin. Received the Lord as my Savior and my Redeemer. And I bowed there in that old-fashioned altar and got my knees dirty. It was one of those old oil floors where you poured oil on the floor to keep the boards from getting dried out and splintering too bad.
Amen.
And I got down there in the dirt, so to speak, and prayed and repented of my sins. And Jesus came into my heart and changed my life. It really made a difference. The next day, I was a different boy.
Amen.
I know I was young, and when I tell people I was already a thief and a liar, that they think that I must have been a pretty rough young man. But actually, I was just 8 years old. So, and people, when I tell them that, they think, well, 8 years old, you couldn't have been a bad sinner. But, you know, sin is not in the grades of sin. It's not a big sin and a little sin. Sin is sin. And sin will send people to hell. And we need redemption. We need salvation. And that's what really the Holy Ghost is all about. The Holy Ghost is given to us so that we can spread the message. He gives us power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 said, when the Holy Ghost comes on you, you'll receive power to be witnesses to me. So that's why God sends this great blessing called the Holy Ghost baptism. And it does make a big difference. Well, my testimony didn't end there. The Lord, very shortly after I got saved, one night just sanctified me and filled me with the Holy Ghost. I know I noticed in looking at your website that you've been talking about sanctification, too. I was proud to see that. Because sanctification is necessary. The Holy Ghost won't dwell in an unclean temple.
Amen.
He lives in hungry hearts that want to be godly and that want to know God. And that's where he comes in to abide. Some folks get worried about it, Brother Yearwood. They think they don't want to be around these tongue talkers because it's scary. They're afraid that the Holy Ghost will get on them and they don't want to, him to, but I usually tell them, look, don't be afraid because the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He'll never intrude where he's not wanted. You've got to be hungry for it. You must want it. When you get hungry for God, when you get hungry for the Spirit of God, I like to say it like this, the Spirit of the Holy. I know we're prone to say, and most often we say it that way, the Holy Spirit, and that's good. But I like to say the Spirit of the Holy, because that deals with the sanctification issue, too. You know, the Spirit of doing what's right, the Spirit of being pure and clean. When you get that Spirit, when you get that desire to be God's man or God's woman, oh, my, what a difference it'll make when you get hungry for God. God come down and fill you, and things will happen to you you never dreamed possible. It's just, it'll overwhelm you with the joy that God will put in your heart.
Amen.
So there I was in the floor, praying, seeking God, and asking God to fill me with Himself, fill me with His Spirit.
Amen.
And I remember, as my testimony, I remember leaning forward in the altar and slightly to the right, just and people around me praying, asking God to fill me and trying to help me. And the next thing I knew, I was not conscious of anything around me except me and the Lord.
Amen.
And God was filling me, thrilling me with the Holy Ghost. And I don't know how long I was there, but when I came to myself, I was at the back of the church building. I could take you to that spot today up on Jackson Street in Morristown, Tennessee.
Amen.
And show you that spot where I opened my eyes and looked, and I heard myself speaking in a language that I had never learned. Oh, glory. It was wonderful, brother. It was wonderful.
Praise God.
And I remember closing my eyes then, and the next thing I remembered, I was back down front, stepping over somebody in the floor.
Amen.
We call that slain in the spirit, you know.
Praise God.
And once again, I heard myself speaking in that language. And filled with joy, incredible joy, amazing what God did in my heart and my life. And it's the most incredible thing that ever happened to me.
Praise the Lord.
Of course, the rest of my life was different from that day forward. I don't mean that I was perfect ever since that day. Oh, no. But thank God in His mercy and His grace. I've never doubted that experience since that time.
Amen.
So, I praise the Lord for that. Well, I'm doing maybe more talking than you want me to do. You might want to comment on any of that.
Okay. Let me get these other three callers in here, then we'll get right back.
Sure.
I want you to just obey God there, brother.
All right.
Got a 330 call in there. Who you are? Come here and tell us where you're at and who you are.
Shreve, Ohio, Dwayne Coleman.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord there, brother. Glad to have
you. I made it finally, huh?
Finally made it.
The brother mentioned about desiring to be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I was 27 years old when I got born again. Immediately translated from dark to light. Immediately was reading the Bible 4 to 6 hours every night, 5 days a week. And that went on for 3 months before I even went to church.
Praise the Lord.
And finally I was invited to this church, and the guy said, now it doesn't even look like a church, it's an old VFW hall, but he said, the love of God is there, and man was it.
Yeah.
I opened that door up and something blew out of there, and it almost scared me, but I had to force my way through it. And we sat towards the back, and I'd read enough of that Bible to know that I was going to have a relationship with one of those guys up there on the platform. And finally I picked him out, and I'm thinking, he's got to be 85 years old. How is this 27-year-old kid going to have a relationship with that? But then he got up and started preaching. And as much as on fire as I was, and I was witnessing 2 days after I was born again, everybody on the job site got it. They got nailed hard. But this 85-year-old man got up and started preaching, and he didn't get 10 words out of his mouth. And guess what my first thought was? What does he have that I don't have?
Yep.
And then 3 weeks later, he preached on the Holy Spirit being a well of springing water.
All right.
Praise God.
At the end of the service, he gave the invitation to come down, and this kid didn't walk down there. He ran.
Amen.
I went down there, and he slapped his hand on my stomach, just going round and round, and all of a sudden, up it come.
Hmm.
And you talk about the amazing change even after that, as much on fire as I was. I mean, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle happened, because I kept reading the word, and you know, when you get so much word in you, pretty soon it's got to come out.
Yeah.
And I was going downtown in Wichita twice a week. After I got home from work, did my garden chores, played with my kids, got them to bed, and then I'd leave and go downtown Wichita 9 o'clock at night. Wouldn't get home to 2 o'clock in the morning.
Let me get a couple callers in right here, brother. They've been on there for a while, and I've not got them in here yet.
Go ahead.
228, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at, sir.
It's Brother Bryant from South Mississippi. Now, I tell you, I sought the Lord.
Praise
You've got to seek Him. You've got to want Him. To receive the Holy Spirit, imagine you in a desert wanting water so bad. This is what you've got to be with the Holy Spirit. You've got to want it above anything in your life. You lay life aside and you reach out for the Holy Spirit. The night I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I have never done this in my life, and I just started bouncing like a basketball across that floor. And the Holy Spirit carried me. He thrilled me. He filled me and made a new man out of me. I mean, the old man was dead. The new man was up, alive and kicking. And brother, that old man is still dead in my life. Thank God. There's a new, you've got a new creature with a new feet. Praise God. A new creature with a new feature. Praise God. That's me. I tell you, I was lost and undone without God or His Son. But thank God He reached down His hand for me.
Amen. Let me get this other caller in here. We got a caller, 573. Go ahead and tell us who you are and where you're at there.
This is Sister Cheryl Miller from the Harville, Poplar Bluff, Missouri area. Greetings in the name of the Lord, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Glad that you got in here with us tonight.
Oh, I'm just basking in listening to everyone's experience. You know, God just comes in and treats each one of us like His only child.
Yes, He does.
And every experience that we have is unique, and it's wonderful. It's like this. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I tasted the glory when I received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And you know, humility is awareness of who God is. And the closer that we get to Him in relationship, it becomes more of an awareness of who He is. And I believe this is a wonderful hour that we live in.
Yes, amen.
It's a great covered of grace. But we also live in an hour where the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea.
Yes.
And I believe that Jesus is standing on the threshold, waiting for the Father to give Him the orders to descend.
Yes.
I believe that voice of the Father is going forth in the power of the Holy Ghost in His people in this earth. He chose to put His treasure in earthen vessels. Hallelujah. And when He fills us with that Holy Ghost fire, we become effectual witnesses, ambassadors in the earth for Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I believe that the sound of that voice, the doorpost, is already moving out of its place.
Amen.
With Himself is standing on a Mahaya on the threshold.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And that glory is surely filling His people with the voice. Hallelujah. This end time, hallelujah, anointing to bring in this great harvest. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen. Praise God. Brother Miller? Brother Miller?
Yes. Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Has the Lord give you anything there yet?
I'm just basking in the presence of the Lord and all of His knowledge. I am really excited about everyone that's on here tonight, and I'm just letting everyone speak so I can sort of receive tonight.
There you go.
Amen. Brother Fred?
Yes, sir.
Come on back in there and minister to us there for a little while there.
Let me just tell you, I was blessed as the testimonies came in, because you're saying exactly what happened to me when I got saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. I was just, as I said, 8 years old. But immediately, without hearing a preacher preach sermon about it, I started witnessing to people. And after the preacher would preach, he'd start inviting people to the altar. I would leave my seat on the front seat, where I will always sit, on the front seat.
Amen.
I love it down there because that's close to the fire.
Yeah. Amen.
And, I'd go back in the congregation, and I'd get a hardened man, sinner man. I'd take him by the arm, and I'd look at him in the eye, and tears rolling down my cheeks. I'd say, "Don't you want to get saved? Don't you want to make it right with God?"
Glory.
And miracle of miracles, they would just break and come to the altar, fall down and weep and get saved. We had a great revival during that time. People were getting saved and the church grew, and it was a marvelous thing. And I didn't realize the impact of that, didn't realize the importance of it. But that's why God gives us the Holy Ghost. That's why He sends it, so that we have the power, so that we have the courage, so that we have the conviction in our own heart to tell somebody else, "Hey, the Lord loves you, and He'll save you." I know. I grew up in this thing, and I know we've done a lot of beating people over the head. But I'm so glad I discovered one day John 3:17. I know everybody knows John 3:16.
Yeah.
No, John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent His only Son for that reason." But then the 17th verse said, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world." Whoa.
Lord.
He didn't send Him to beat us over the head and make us feel guilty. He sent Him not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Ghost gives us the ability to tell them that story and explain to them that God loves them.
Yeah.
And God so loved this old world, this old sinner boy that was lost and going to hell, thief and a liar, and on his way to hell. But God loved me and forgave me and brought me to
Christ.
And thank God for that. Now, my experience and our experience, our collective experience, doesn't matter what it is. You know, sometimes people think, well, if I could just do what he did or what she did, if I could just act the same way they did, then I can get that blessing too. But that's not what God's looking for. He doesn't want us to copy somebody else. Each person's experience is unique to himself. But it doesn't matter what our experience is. What matters is, what does God's Word say about it?
Amen.
Now, that's the thing. We got to know, what does the Bible say? See, that God hasn't left us without guidelines. He works in mysterious ways. You can't put God in a box, except that He will be true to His Bible. He will be true to His Word. He cannot lie. He's not a man. He can't lie.
He magnifies
so
above His name.
Yeah, God is going to stand by us. He's going to do what He said He would do, and we can count on that. So when I had received the Holy Ghost and I heard people start saying, "Well, oh, that's just a bunch of silly stuff. You people are crazy." And of course, we heard those kind of things. You know, I'm sure all of you on the program tonight have experienced that kind of criticism. But it doesn't matter what people say. What does the Bible say? So when you start studying the Bible, and then I found out, I've pastored churches here in Tennessee for 24 years, and then I've served in world missions for 20 years. So I've been around for a while. I've been around a block a time or two. but now, the Word of God is our guideline. And back, you know, I was back in Nashville pastoring, and I was at a meeting with some people in from different churches, and they started asking questions about the Holy Ghost and this experience of tongue speaking and so forth. And I said, well, you've got to start back in the beginning. You've got to start back in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, you know, God created the heavens and the earth. And then the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. So the Spirit of God was there from the beginning.
Amen.
He was there from the very first book and first chapter of the Bible.
Amen.
So God is just great. I said the earth was without form. It was void. It was empty. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit,
yes.
God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Holy One, moved on the face of the waters. So God was there. And then in Genesis 6, chapter 3, the Lord said, my Spirit will not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. And yet his days shall be 120 years. And it's the Spirit of God, we learn right there in the Old Testament, Genesis 6, that the Spirit is the one who strives with man, who calls men to repentance, who
yes.
brings conviction on people.
Yes.
So we need it. We don't just, it's not optional. We urgently need it.
Yes.
We need the Spirit of God to come on us and help us to tell others about the great love of Jesus.
Amen.
Wow, I can just keep going on. Oh, Pharaoh, you remember. Pharaoh
yeah.
was looking at Joseph, and Joseph, the man that could interpret dreams and the man that was mistreated, the man that resisted temptation in the form of lust, he resisted it because he was a man of God, and the Spirit of God was working with him there. And what I was going to say, I was going to quote that verse of Scripture here. About to forget my quote, but Pharaoh said to his servants in Genesis 41:38, he said, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?
Amen.
They want the man that's got the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
That's the kind of man we need today.
Amen.
Man, our
yep.
world, if we ever needed it, we need that now, don't we? We need a man
yes,
with the Spirit
do.
Of God.
Oh, yeah.
And, then you come on down to the time of the law. They're saying, oh, you just got the book of Acts. That's all y'all know about. But no, brother, it's all through the Bible.
Yes,
it's
it is.
From Genesis to Revelation. In the time of the law, Moses looked around. He wanted to build a tabernacle. God told him to build it. And Moses found such a man in 31 chapter of Exodus 31. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, see, I've called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God
yes.
in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. So God singled out people in the Old Testament, filled them with the Spirit of God, and
yes.
gave them extra wisdom, understanding, knowledge, how to do things, how to get things done. We need that, don't we?
Yes, we do.
I think I see a need for that.
Right.
In the time of
yes.
the judges. Well, I can go on and on if you want me to, but my goodness. I better
come
let
on,
somebody
brother.
Else talk
you're in faith. Come on.
In the time of the judges then, the Spirit of the Lord came on Othniel, a judge, so that he could judge God's people. It came
yes.
on Gideon. You remember that one?
Yes.
God's Spirit came on Gideon, and God's Word said, that he is not limited so that he can work with many or he can work with few. And that's what Gideon showed us. Why, he had a whole bunch of folks that volunteered to go out and fight the enemy, but God said, you got too many people here. They'll take the credit for it. Let them go home. Then he finally, y'all remember the story, he brought it down till it was only 300 men. And then God, by his Spirit, used those 300 men to conquer the enemies of Israel. Praise God. And Samson's another one.
Yes.
How God created a man there and filled him with his Spirit. But Samson kind of treated the Spirit lightly. He wasn't
mm-hmm.
as devoted to the Lord as he should have been.
Yeah.
And, you know, he kind of had his eyes on some things in the world.
Yes.
But God... even through all of Samson's story, and I'm not going into all the details of it, but in that period of time, God worked with Samson and he did mighty feats, but it was when the Spirit came on him that Samson
yes.
was able. His strength wasn't in his arms. It wasn't being tied with a certain type of rope. It wasn't even in his muscles, you know, but it was in the Spirit of God. When the Spirit would move on him, then he was able.
In reality,
to
it wasn't even his long hair.
That's right. It was God.
It wasn't
Spirit,
even his long
his hair.
It was the Spirit,
It was his commitment to God that made him different.
Yes.
And he lost that touch from God. But even in that story, here's the beautiful part of that I love the best. He said in the end of his life, when sin had bound him, when sin had put him behind the grindstone, when sin had put his eyes out, he prayed and said, "Oh, God, just one more time. Just one more time, God. Show your power one more time." And God granted that prayer. God come down on the scene, and old Samson, the Bible said, in his death, he slew more than he did in his life. So God was showing that, hey, I can do it with a blind man. I can do it with a man that can't even see. I can do it. Just let my Spirit have his way.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Then y'all still want me to go on? I can, brother.
Oh, it sounds good.
I'm going to get this other call in right here, brother, and let you go on there, Brother Brown.
Okay, go ahead.
516, come in and tell us who you are and where you're at. 516?
516, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, when he said 516, I would never even know. This is Apostle Victor Ebersong of our celebration talk show, also in the Blog Talk Radio. I'm just thanking God for what I've been hearing. I think I probably have on the line also is a great woman of God from the town in the city of Brockton in Massachusetts, Evangelist Matt. I don't know if she's on. But I just thank God that you're hearing what we're hearing. You're listening all over the world. Recession wouldn't have hit us if we did not. As the man of God was talking, I see a split between the matter and the spirit. I believe when God created man, he did not create a split until Adam, the serpent, Satan, who wanted a split because he was split out of heaven. He wanted to put a split between men, so that the flesh will be sitting on his own and the spirit on his own, and the spirit can't sit alone. So it needs to come on this on man, the natural, the super, and the natural. And if we are to see, and the man of God said, the spirit of God will not strive. You see, the world has gotten to a point where they were about to go head on with God, and he would not allow that. So he said, okay, I'm going to really even pull the spirit of blessing and prosperity out of circulation, and you see what we do. Because with that, the spirit, church of God and men of God, I hear the man of God say that we cannot be effective. We have to. He said, ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, so that we become actual witnesses, witnessing heaven on the face of the earth, even at this time of what we call recession, going down syndrome, instead of upward mobility.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We got a 111 area code in there. Come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at. 111, can you come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at? Well, praise the Lord. We got 7 callers tonight, and I don't know why that 111. They may not be hearing me there for some reason. But, okay. Go ahead and tell us who you are. Praise the Lord.
Yes, that was an overseas call. I saw that number during my show last Wednesday. I don't know who that is.
Where's that from, Brother Victor?
Say it again.
Where's that area code from, 111? And then
I think it's probably overseas, I'm supposing. I can't find a 111 area code.
Okay. So we just thank God for the one that's called in. I don't know who you are there, but Brother Fred, go ahead and obey the Lord there. Since you're our special guest there tonight, we got 7 callers in, and we normally don't have but 5. That's all that ever shows up is 5 callers. Now we got 7, so
praise God.
It's a miracle there.
I'm delighted to be here with you and talking about this blessed gift of the Holy Ghost. You know the Holy Ghost, so he's always been. He's eternal. He's God. The Holy Ghost is God.
Yes, he is.
Father is God, and Jesus is God. We've got him, God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And these three are one. They're not three gods, but one God in three persons. And, you know, back in the time of the prophets, take up where I was on my notes there. I made a few notes since you had told me I was going to be the main speaker here tonight, or at least one of them.
Yeah.
My notes I wrote down here in Isaiah chapter 28, you know, in the time of the major prophets, Isaiah said, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept,
mm-hmm.
precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For," and here's the important verse, "for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people."
Yes.
"For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, and yet they would not hear." So it's just like today, it's just like it was then. God tries. He sends miraculous intervention. He sends the Holy Ghost. He sends the evidence of it and speaks with other tongues that they never learn. And yet, for all that, people will not listen. They will not hear. Yet, it's the thing they need. They need the refreshing that comes with receiving the Holy Ghost and allowing God to do whatever he wants to do with you, to say whatever he wants to say through you. Ezekiel's another one of those major prophets. Over in chapter 36, beginning down at verse 26, he said, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." So when God changes our heart, oh stony, hard-hearted men, hard-hearted women, God breaks that old hard heart and pours his spirit into a man or a woman and gives them this blessed Holy Spirit to dwell within them. And his spirit, just like the New Testament will tell us later, that his spirit will guide you. And he'll cause you to walk in the statutes of God and keep the judgments of God. And then you come to the minor prophets, of course. The most famous one for us Pentecostals is Joel chapter 2. Joel is a minor prophet. In the Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, "It shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit."
Uh-huh.
"Upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and on the servants and on the handmaids in those days I'll pour out my spirit." Does that verse sound familiar?
Yes, it does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's because that's what Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, chapter 2, in verse 16 and 17. He quoted that.
Amen.
And he says there in verse 16, "But this is that," when he's defending this this great thing that happened in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, "and they all began to speak with other tongues." Peter said, when they questioned and said, "What is this? What does this mean? We're hearing all these people who are Galileans and unlearned and ignorant. They don't know anything." yet they're speaking in our own tongues. So what does this mean? So Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel in verse 16 of that chapter. And in verse 17 he said, it shall come to pass in the last days. And he quotes what Joel said, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Well, all flesh, that means first century flesh. That means second century flesh. That means 20th century flesh.
Yes,
and 21st century, if Jesus tarries, is coming.
Yes.
As long as Jesus tarries, he'll keep pouring out his spirit on sincere, hungry-hearted people who are seeking after God. God-seeking people will find that he'll baptize them in the Holy Ghost, and they'll do things they never dreamed of or thought about.
Because
it's the last days. Praise God. He'll pour out his spirit. We're in the last days. Well, we haven't covered near all of it, but my goodness, the Bible is full of it, so don't let anyone accuse us of saying, well, all we talk about is the book of Acts. No, brother, the Holy Ghost from Genesis to Revelation.
Yes, it is. All the way to it. I was just thinking, brother, you were telling there a while ago about when you got saved and you was 8 years old, you know. I was thinking, I know you know Preacher Dixon that used to be at Hiawassee Church of God years ago.
Yes, sir, I know him.
And you might even remember the brother that used to be the pastor of Sweetwater Church of God, Brother Stansbury. You remember
him? I do. Stansbury.
Stansbury, that's right.
Yeah, C.R. Stansbury.
Yeah,
I know him well.
They was preaching. He was preaching Brother Dixon a revival. I stood up about 7 or 8 years old in the pews, between the pews down there, and my mother and them went to church, was going to church there at that time. I stood up between the pews, not really realizing, you know, what question I asked. And I said to him, I said, I want to get saved tonight. Well, Brother Stutesbury got through preaching. I didn't start toward the altar and he gave the altar call, so he called me up there.
All right.
And he had prayer with me. Well, I made a confession to the Lord right then, that night.
Praise God.
I was praying and I was seeking God one night. I've got this on one of my websites, testimony. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mercy. Praise God. I got this, and I was praying one night. My mother was there at the house, and my grandmother and my daddy had gone coon hunting. I usually go coon hunting with him. You know, Daddy liked to hunt.
Oh, yeah.
That night they said it was too cold, so I was there in the bed, and I was praying, and I was talking to God, and God called me to preach his word. And I remember it just as well as it was today. And I went to my bedside, I went to Mama's bedside, and I told her, I said, Mama, I said, the Lord has called me to preach. And she said, Lord Ray, she said, you're a little bit too young for that now. I said, you're going to have to wait a while and grow up.
Mm.
So, you know, I had a call in my life then. I remember walking the roads, nobody, just myself, preaching to myself, just walking the roads. But then after, you know, years, and I growed up into my teenage, my mother told me that, and she wouldn't have done it for nothing in the world, but she didn't realize what she'd done. I got out of church. And I run till I was 25 years old from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got right, I got saved again. I got delivered from paint thinner and alcohol and drugs and all that. I was in Dalton, Georgia. Brother Clayton Brown, I know the reason you know him too.
Yeah.
And he come, him and another brother come and prayed with me and got me saved. And I repented again and made it right, and I've been in a change ever since. That was January the 19th of 1975.
Praise God.
When I made that change and started serving the Lord, I wore the altar out there seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I was still trying, you know, hold on to my cigarettes and everything else.
Uh-huh.
But one night, I said, Lord, I said, if these cigarettes is keeping me from receiving the Holy Ghost, I said, I want you to deliver me from them right now, and I'll never smoke another one.
Yeah.
And I took and had two packs in my pocket, and I went home. laid them up on top of the refrigerator, and praise God, hallelujah. And when I laid them up, I tried to quit dozens and dozens of times. But I just couldn't quit. But the Lord delivered me that night from them. And I, like I said, I was riding the altar out for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I went up there one night, and I said, I'm just going to go up there and pray with the rest of the people, you know, just be a praying. And Brother Brown run up about 200, 250 up there in that other church before he built down there on the road where he's at now. And I went up there and just to praying, and I come to myself, I was running in a circle, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And, you know, I thank God, you know, brother and sisters on the line here with us tonight and people around the world, you know, people will just beat yourself to death trying to receive a gift that God has done give us. All we've got to do is just receive it.
That's right.
We don't have to bag him for it. We get our hearts cleaned up and get it sanctified like we talked there for several weeks. People get sanctified, get all the sin out of their life and get cleared up and get pure before God. God wants to give you this gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's freely. I mean, it's something that he wants every one of us to have. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me say a word there about part of your testimony, Brother Yearwood. You said your mother may have discouraged you, not meaning to, but discouraged you, saying, well, you're too young right now and you need to wait a while on that. You know, when I was 16, God impressed me. I recognize it now. That's when God called me to be a missionary. But at 16 years of age, you don't get up and go to Africa or South America even. You wouldn't even go to Mexico at 16 and leave home and not finish school. You have to be submissive to your parents. God gave us those parents, and they're for our benefit.
Yes.
I was 50 years old when I finally landed on the continent of Africa. But I knew in my heart that I was to be a missionary to Africa when I was just 16 years old. God has to have time to work things out. So I use that to tell folks, don't be impatient with God.
Right.
If he's called you to do something, don't get discouraged and quit. Yeah. If he's called you, be patient with God. God, he'll bring it to pass. If it's really God, it'll happen. And if it's not God, you don't want it to happen anyway.
Amen.
So just be patient with the Lord, and he'll bring it about. I know that's maybe not directly on the topic of the Holy Ghost, which was our subject tonight, but the Holy Ghost is the one who does call us. He's the one who convicts us and guides us. As Jesus said in John 16, he said, he'll be a guide to you. He'll show you. He'll guide you into all truth. So I guess we are still on target then. We're talking about his guidance, aren't we?
Leading, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Man, let me say, go ahead.
I want to add, because now we had just identified a segment of the body of Christ to be the Holy Ghost people. But when you were reading, man of God, in the book of Joel, it said, in the last day. So that means every Baptist will become Pentecostal. I'm just kidding. No, we don't need whether becoming Pentecostal or Baptist or Lutheran. In the last day, if you're a believer, this is who you need. Not this is what. It is a who you need, because that's the sum totality of the living God who now comes upon the natural like he did to Adam, covers the whole, because when the sin came, Adam became naked. So that's our covering. That's the tailored suit from heaven that changes out and then puts out Stacy Adam and Jacuzzi or whatever out of business. Now that's what we need, to be fully covered. So there won't be no Pentecostal days, and this is not, as it's been, like political arena.
Well, you know, we're going to have denominations until Jesus comes.
That's true.
I don't think that you have to change denominations to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
No.
Of course,
no.
When you get the Holy Ghost, a lot of times in some of the organizations, people don't appreciate that, and so they make it uncomfortable for people that receive the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues, and therefore they try to find a church that embraces this doctrine and embraces this experience, which is right. I mean, that's the only way you can
really
get along. You've got to do that, but we're not trying to change people's denomination. We're just trying to help them see that if they get a hold of God, God will help them. They don't have to make any organizational change at all. Just get filled with the Holy Ghost and then follow whatever the Holy Ghost tells you to do.
Amen.
And you'll come out right.
Could I say something? This is Dwayne. Here about 5 months ago, I took a couple of ladies out to a lake to get them baptized. And I ministered the Holy Spirit to them at the end of the baptism. And one lady is 76 years old.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
And she got the baptism, and she's a very shy, to herself person. And ever since then, she would come to our church on Sunday nights, go to an Episcopal church Sunday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I gave her this little booklet called Why Tongues, because I knew in the Episcopal Church, if they found out she was speaking in tongues, she would get some problems from them.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, here, study this, ground yourself in it, because you're going to get attacked. And she gladly took it, but it's just amazing the way she is coming out of her shell. She's getting bold. She says, this isn't me. I don't know what's going on. And one other time, myself and a Bronco football player, Denver, Colorado, went down to the city jail to preach. And actually, there was a group of us that went down, and this Bronco player and I were sent into the Spanish section, and not one of them could speak English.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's where baptism of the Holy Spirit comes in.
Praise God.
My buddy says, what shall we do? And I said, what do we come here to do? So I started preaching, and there's no doubt in my mind I'm speaking English as I was preaching, but guess what those Spanish guys were hearing? They were hearing Spanish. You're not what?
I'm not disagreeing with that at all. I know God can do them kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely believe that. At the end of my preaching, there was a total of 25 guys in there. There was 25 Spanish guys on their knees, weeping, calling out to Christos.
I hate to interrupt, but we've got a prior question here that we need to put in. We've got one more minute left. Terry and Cheryl Miller, which they're on the line here tonight with us, they need a touch and need a miracle from God. Terry, a 15-year-old boy we've been praying for so long a time that was in a coma. He's out of the coma now, but he still needs a miracle from God.
Yeah.
Brother Bobby Bryant needs a bus to travel in to preach the gospel with. Brother M.C. Manley, he's in Dalton, Georgia, he's still needing a miracle from God. We want to remember Miracle Valley, Brother and Sister Harder, and want to remember all that's lost and needs salvation. Want to remember Mary Reagan, she needs a miracle, and need to remember Lizzie, a lady that we prayed for this past week. She needs a miracle from God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll probably go off the line. We've got about 36 seconds left. I want to say it's been good to have each one of you on here with us tonight. Appreciate everyone
Thank
that called
all.
In and was a part of the service with us. So our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we go before you right now, God, we bring these prayer requests.
Yes, Lord.
God, before you, we just ask, God, that you will deal with them, God, Lord, that you will heal them that's sick and afflicted, God, that you will save them, God, that's lost, that's born on
You get that?
Praise the glory and the honor for it. Set them free, God. We speak peace and deliverance to them. It's Jesus. We praise
Thank you, Lord. Miracles. Miracles by the Spirit of the Lord. Miracles. Miracles. Miracles.
I want to say I appreciate all seven callers tonight. That's a miracle from God because I started seeing them after popping up over five. And I couldn't believe it. I know it has to be a miracle there.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
So we'll say good night to everybody, and we'll do it again next week. So pray for us. God bless you, and we love you.
God.
Praise God.
God. Oh. Nathan, God bless.
Yes.
God bless.
God bless.